with us right now. And he will be with us until Jesus returns. Amen. We will meet him face to face. Give us a Lord a hand. Should have been in the 37th chapter of Genesis on last weekend. And so today we want to drop anchor in the 39th chapter of Genesis. We're going to read Genesis 39. And so once you have found it, we would ask that you will stand with us. I want to read just today for the sake of clarity from the New Living Translation. Now the back of your pew is an NIV translation. You may be reading a King James translation or an English Standard Version or a New American, and that's okay. They're fundamentally the same. They may read just a little different, but here's how I know you're okay. That if you check the front of your Bible, you check the binder, if it says Holy and Bible, you okay, amen? Because if you read not anything that does not say Holy and Bible, then you're not in good company. But I want to read, for the sake of clarity, from the New Living Translation, from 39th chapter, verses 11 through 23. That's what we're going to read. And if you have that translation, read with me. But we also want you to keep your finger on the 40th chapter, because we're going to cover that throughout our sermonic time together. Are you there? Genesis 39, verses 11 through 23. Out of the New Living Translation, let's begin. One day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. She, meaning Potiphar's wife, came to grab him by his cloak, demanding, "Come sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. When she saw that she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Now, soon all the men came running. "Look," she said, "my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away, but he left his cloak behind with me." Now she kept the cloak with her until her husband came home. Then she told him her story. Here's what she said. "That Hebrew slave you brought into our house tried to come in and fool around with me." That's how she said it too. "But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me." Verse 19, "Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. And before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison." I'm talking about favor, y'all. Yes. "The warden had no more worries." Why? Because Joseph took care of everything. "The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed." That's what I want. I want the Lord to cause everything I do to succeed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give praise and thank you for the victory that we already have through Christ our Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that we didn't have to do anything to inherit it or merit it, Lord, but it was your grace, it was your mercy. Lord God, Jesus paid it all. And all to him we owe. All we had to do, Lord, is accept us in our state, our sinful state, that if we remained in this state, we would be eternally separated from you. But thank God that you had a ransom make the ultimate sacrifices for my sins, for your sins, for all of our sins, so that we have accepted his sacrificial death. We would live an eternal life, that his sins covered his dying covered a multitude of our sins. And we accept your perfect and complete plan for salvation. Lord, so we give you the praise and the honor. We now share in your precious and most holy word. Lord God, we pray that you will speak to us. Father, not only will we be hearers of your word, that we will be doers. And I pray, Lord, as I stand behind this sacred desk, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight for you and you alone. You, God, you are my strength. You, God, you are my redeemer. God, you are my life and my all. This is your servant's prayer. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And thank God. Amen. Genesis chapter 39, verses 11 through 23. And so we want to continue in this sermon series that we've entitled, You're Going to Get Through This. Tell your neighbor, you are going to get through this. Amen. And last week, we wanted to tell you, and we told you that as you go through this, you cannot lose your destiny. Amen. And if you're like Joseph, you are destined, amen, for what God has for you, because number one, you're God's child. And you're destined because what you're going through points you in the right direction. Amen. And so today, we want to start off by reminding you that whatever your this is, be encouraged. This too will pass. And so we want to give a title to our time and text time together. We want to just tell you that justice delayed is not necessarily justice denied. Justice delayed does not mean justice denied. I need your prayers. You know, saints, everything works together for the good. What we go through will work out for the best. You know, it was on November 28th, 1965, that fighter pilot Howard Rutledge's plane was shot down right into the hands of the North Vietnam Army. He was shuttled to the Heartbreak Hotel in what famously became known as the Hanoi Hilton. And Rutledge tells the story of his time in prison. And in telling his story, he said that it's hard to describe what solitary confinement it can do to unnerve and defeat a man. He says you quickly tire of standing up or sitting down. You tire of sleeping or of being awake. And there are no books in prison and in solitary confinement. There's no paper or there's no pencils. There's no magazines or newspapers. The only colors that you see are drab gray and dirty brown. He said that months or years may go by when you don't even see the sunrise or the moon. You won't even see the green grass or the flowers. You're locked in. You're locked alone and you're silent and you're in a filthy little cell breathing stale, rotten air, trying to keep your sanity. And I'm here today to tell you that few of us will experience the conditions of a POW camp. And yet, to some degree or another, we all spend time behind bars. When you're going through an experience that is so hard and so painful, an experience that makes no sense, an experience where you wonder what in the heaven is going on. And you ask, why is God permitting this imprisonment? Or or you ask, does this struggle serve any real purpose? Have you ever been there before? I'm sure that that was the question that Joseph had asked. You know Joseph, y'all. Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob, and he was the one who was thrown down into a pit by his brothers, and then he was retrieved and then sold into slavery. He was purchased by the chief of Potiphar's secret service to a man we've come to know as Potiphar. Potiphar, you all recognize that everything was working in-house since Joseph showed up at his house. So he put Joseph in charge of the whole house. He was promoted fresh from a pit. And God's hand was not only with him, God's hand was on him, and the women took notice of him. And leading the line of onlookers was Mrs. Potiphar. You know that colored girl who we discovered who was operating undercover? She worked her womanly wiles, and she played her best game, and she even took Johnny Gill's advice and put on that red dress and slipped on those high heels and even some of that sweet perfume, hoping that Joseph would say, my. The show looked. But he did. And she decided that if she couldn't flirt him into bed, she would force him into bed. So she came out and candidly said, come on and go to bed with me. But Joseph didn't, and she said, oh no, you didn't. She said, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. And then she grabbed for his robe, and he let her have it. He chose his character over his coat. And when he ran, she concocted a story. When her husband Potiphar came home, she was ready with her lie and Joseph's coat as proof. And Potiphar charged Joseph with sexual assault and locked him in jail. What an injustice. Joseph was on lockdown for refusing to get down. Some of the modern conveniences like a toilet or a sink. But he is in that place that was underground, that had no windows with damp floors and stale food. And as Joseph was shoved into the dark, damp room, I can only imagine him thinking, but I didn't do anything wrong. How did I end up in jail? He had done his best for Potiphar's house, and he had made a fortune for his new employer, and he had managed his responsibilities. He had learned a new language and adapted to a new culture, and on top of that, he resisted the sexual advances of Potiphar's wife. But now, here's how he is rewarded. There was an arrest without an arraignment. There was an indictment without an attorney. There was a prison sentence without any hopes for parole. Now, since when does taking the high road lead you right over the cliff? You know, since the entry of evil into the world, I just want to tell you that do not think that just because you are doing right that things cannot go wrong. One witness here today. As long as our adversary Satan is prowling around here like a roaring lion, he will wreak havoc upon God's people. And just like Paul, he will lock preachers up in prison. Just like John, he'll exile pastors to remote islands. And like Lazarus, he will afflict friends of Jesus with diseases unto death. But the good news is his strategies will always backfire. All right, no, they will, because an imprisoned Paul will write prison epistles so that you and I can read them today. I know I'm right, because a banished John will see heaven and record the revelation. I know I'm right, because the cemetery of a dead Lazarus will become the stage upon which Jesus performs one of his greatest miracles. Things will go wrong when you choose to go right, but don't give up. Don't give in, and don't give out, and don't give over, because God will always have the last word, and it will be good. Can you give God the praise right there? You need to always remember that no matter what goes down, that trouble won't last. Always. You need to remember that no weapon that is formed against you. Yes, now, don't get it wrong. It will form. But even though it forms, it will not prosper. And that brings me to my first point. Short sermon today, because even though he was incarcerated, Joseph was not devastated. That's my first point. Joseph was incarcerated, but not devastated. How is that, preacher? I hear you asking me. Because the text testifies that the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And not only did he do that, but he gave him favor in the sight of the prison keeper. And even though he was locked down, he could still look up. Intended evil became what was we know as an eventual good. And I'm not trying to say this as a cliche, because I realize that there's nothing simple about your situation or nothing simple about your condition. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. I don't. I acknowledge that there's nothing simple about your empty refrigerator. There's nothing that's simple about your unemployment or your broken spirit. I know that there's nothing simple about your aching heart or your suffering child. I realize that these things and others are challenges that are not easy, and neither are they random. Don't you know that God is not sometimes sovereign? That God is not occasionally victorious? Don't you know that God does not occupy his throne on one day and vacate the throne on the next? I came to tell you that God is still good, and that God is still God over your condition and God over your circumstances. And that the season that you're struggling through right now may have shocked you. But I want you to know that what you're going through don't even surprise God. God can and God will use whatever you're going through for his purpose. But when you look at the earthly Egyptian jail cell, it looked like a tragic conclusion to Joseph's hopeful life. All the plans for God to use Joseph in any significant way appeared to end with the slamming of that cell block door. You know, the devil seemed to have Joseph right where he wanted him. And the truth is, the devil did have Joseph right where he wanted him. But so did God. Joseph's character, y'all, was tested. And I've got to tell you that the time will come when truth will triumph. That the time will come when you will be vindicated. I want to tell you that the time will come when what was meant for evil will be transformed into good, because your test is simply there to purify and prepare your heart. Oh, okay, if you don't believe me, then take the word of the psalmist in the 66th number of the psalm, where it says, "For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. About this lesson that Pastor Williams is teaching today. And you even got more questions about the life and the circumstances in your life right now. But the question that begs to be asked is, why didn't God keep Joseph out of that prison? And personalize it, why didn't God keep me from the trial that I'm in right now? Why didn't God keep me from the trouble that I'm in right now? Why didn't God deliver you from trauma, tragedy, and trouble? Well, let's go to the book of James for some help. James says in James 1 and 3, New Living Translation, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So when you tell your neighbor, let it grow, neighbor, let it grow. Verse 4 says, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Say, I don't need a damn nothing. Just tell them, I don't need a damn nothing. That's where I want to get to. I want to get fully developed. I want to be perfect and Christ and complete in Christ so that I am not in need of anything. Y'all, Joseph had an appointment with the palace that he knew nothing about. Oh, y'all ain't even here today. He had an appointment with the palace, but he didn't know about it. Can I say it again? He had an appointment with the palace that he didn't even know the palace was on the horizon. He didn't know, but God knew the challenges that laid ahead for Joseph. So he used Joseph's time in the pit to stretch him and to strengthen him in ways that were not possible by any other means. And one of the hardest lessons that we as Christians still face is learning to accept what God has permitted. Amen. So if your heart is broken, God permitted it. If you go under a tough time, God permitted it. When the sons of thunder came to present themselves, and Job was kind of just hanging around, God said, he offered Job up. Have you considered my servant's son? Richard? From the head to the toe. You can do whatever, but not one thing. You can't do it. See, God knows some things that we don't know. We in the pit, but he's talking about palace now. And your joy and your peace will return when you stop questioning God why, but start telling God to show you what you're supposed to learn in your season of a new life. Lord, what am I supposed to know about this palace that you got for me? Okay, so I'm 2 points today. I'm a 2-point person again this week. Even though he was incarcerated, Joseph was not devastated. And the second point I want to lift from this text is we should have stressed Joseph. What should have stressed him ended up strengthening him. Yeah. Somebody else. What was stressing him and should have stressed him ended up strengthening him. But in verse 22 reports, before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. Now, Joseph mastered the management of Potiphar's house with integrity and was assigned the management of the jailhouse. Wait, did I just go over your head? He was assigned, amen, to manage the house with integrity, and then was assigned, ultimately, management of the jailhouse. He could have immersed himself in self-regret, and he could have complained, oh, I'm on this prison, and I shouldn't have been here, and I don't know why God doing this to me, and I know I missed one Sunday from church, and I know I was on mail in my time, but I forgot to get some stamps, and I couldn't think of the website. He could have had a pity party. And he could have complained, but he didn't. He worked with the willing, and he worked with the unwilling. He worked with those who were grateful, and he worked with those who were ungrateful. And the leader should have said amen right there. And he took special interest, the Bible says, in a butler and a baker. The chief cupbearer and the chief baker were both officers in Pharaoh's palace, but both of them faced charges. And they were both placed in prison under Joseph's supervision. Right now, right there in chapter 40, verse 5, while they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. Now, when Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. Verse 7 says, he said, why do you look so worried today? Now, I just want to stick a pin right there and just remind you that this came from somebody who had been abandoned by his brothers. He was sold into slavery, and he was a victim of injustice. And he's wondering why somebody else is worried. For Joseph, justice was delayed. Amen, but I'm here today to tell you that it was not denied. And despite all of that, Joseph was still compassionate toward other people. That's my last point. I'll give you that point. He couldn't see it then, but he would meet the characteristic that God was developing in him so he would be ready when God elevated him to his next assignment.
He's a dream. Come on.
He couldn't see it then. But he had to develop in him a characteristic that God only gave him so that when the time came, he would be ready. And I need to suggest to you that whatever God is teaching you in this season, even though this season may not make sense to you, you're going to need it for your next season. God was not finished with him because both the baker and the butler were troubled by their dreams. And in his dream, verse 9 through 11, the chief cupbearer, or the butler, saw a grapevine in front of him, and that vine had three branches that began to bud and to blossom, and so it produced clusters of grapes. And he was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in his hand, so he took a cluster of grapes and squeezed the juice into the cup. Then he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. That was his dream. But in the chief baker's dream, he said, in my dream, There were three baskets of white pastries stacked on my head. The top basket contained all kinds of pastries for Pharaoh, but the birds came and ate them from the basket on my head. Now, as I read this, and as you realize that they shared this dream with Joseph, don't forget that they both had dreams, and both were in the care of Joseph, and both of them had their dreams interpreted by Joseph. Don't forget that. But Joseph received the interpretation from God. Now, remember that the last time that Joseph had interpreted a dream, what happened? He ended up in a pit. Yeah. I would be a little gun shy. Now, he cared. He had compassion. First time he interpreted the dream from God, he ended up in jail. And this time, only half of his interpretation will bring a good outcome. And that's a dilemma that we all face. Joseph faced it, and the dilemma that we face is, can we be trusted to bring a word from God, even though the outcome may not be favorable? Can we be trusted to tell a dying world that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord? Can we be trusted to tell a dying world that there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth, the stress of nations with perplexity, that the sea and the waves roaring? Can we tell them that there will be men's hearts will be failing, amen, and there will be fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken? Can we tell them that they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and with great glory? And can we tell them that when these things happen, to look and up and lift your head, because the day of redemption is drawing nigh? Can we be trusted to tell a dying world that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and that the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain will be called up together with the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord? Preachers, can we be trusted to tell them on Sunday morning that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes from the Father but by Jesus? Say, oh, I got to patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage people. How? With good teaching. The dungeon looked like a place of incarceration, but if the truth be told, it was a place of training. It may hurt like a heartache, But if somebody asks the angels, where is Sonny at? Where is Kevin at? You know what the angels will probably say? They probably say, well, God's got them in training right now. And if you believe that you're in training for your next level, if you believe that you're in training for your next season, or you're in training for your next assignment, you ought to shout glory to the Lord of our hearts. That you'll get through this. Listen, in military, I know DB and Sonny and DB Jones and my nephew went through what's called basic training. Y'all know what basic training is? It's a short period of time, but it's an intense period of time where they take you through and push you to your limits to prepare you for any future battles you may face out on the battlefield. All of this training, he's preparing us during this season. We just sang trouble don't last always. But he's preparing us in this season, in an intense season, for any future battles that we may have to fight on his behalf. Amen. You gotta remember that all of our tests and all of our tears, they are temporary. They have a limit on them. They're limited in duration. Trials never last. Troubles don't last always. Seasons come. But seasons go. You should have shouted right there. Because in God's economy, there's a fifth season. I'm not talking about just winter, spring, summer, and fall. But in God's economy, there's a fifth season, and it's called the due season. And in the meantime, and the meantime can be a meantime. I want to encourage you to follow the example of Joseph and let God train you. God is watching how you handle the little things. Because if you are faithful over a few things, God will make you ruler over more things. Joseph succeeded in the prison before he was ever successful in Pharaoh's court. Let me say that. First succeeded in the prison before he would eventually become successful in Pharaoh's court. He cared for the butler and the baker before God gave him the responsibility to care for an entire nation. The reward for doing good is that God will give you greater work. And don't ask God for greater until you first learn how to handle the good. In Lamentations chapter 3 and 33, God does not take pleasure in making life hard. This is the Message translation, or in throwing roadblocks in the way. But God delights or takes pleasure in our development. So rather than asking God to change your circumstance, your prayer ought to be to ask God to help you see your circumstance in such a way that it changes you. We ask God, change this, Lord. Give me this. Take me out of this. Lord, do this. We ask God to change everything but us. That's the King James translation. But what did he say? Well, Lord, since you ain't gonna take it out, you might as well teach me how to deal with it. And I can't do it on my own. I can do it only because your grace is sufficient for me. Stop asking God to change our situations. Ask God to change us and teach us and train us in the midst of our situation. So that way when God uses and brings us out of the situation, we'll be ready and prepared for the next one. God is at work in each of us. And I'm here today to tell you, yes, God will finish what he started. So if you don't have to wait till it's over to praise him. You can praise him because it started. I knew y'all was gonna miss that. Let me see if I can help you, because God started it. We asked him to finish it, but we gotta realize he gotta start it. And if he started it, he'll finish it. I know I'm right about it. You ain't gonna take my word. Take Paul's word, because in Philippians 1:6, he says that he who began a good work in you will carry it out on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What he begins, he's not going to stop until Jesus comes back. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. Oh, but I'm so glad that every obstacle that I face is better equipping me for my future opportunities. That you face, that we face as a ministry, as a community of the faithful, is equipping and preparing us for new possibilities. Yes. Don't forget, Joseph was in the pit, but God saw him in the palace. Come on, don't forget that. Don't forget that. I was chuckling, I was hollering when I was preparing this, but I ain't gonna holler today. Oh man, we was having a good time this week. Thank the Lord. Oh man, we was in some high worship. I know I'm right about it, because what happens to us happened to Jesus. Herod hunting him, that was unjust. His family didn't follow him, that was unjust. Peter denied him, that was unjust. Judas betrayed him, that was unjust. Thomas doubted him, that was unjust. Pilate condemned him, that was unjust. The soldiers beat him, y'all know that was unjust. The crowds who shouted Hosanna now shouted crucify him, and they mocked him, and well, if you Jesus, take yourself down from the cross, save yourself. They mocked him, and all of that was unjust. And then they crucified him. And you don't even have to have me tell you how unjust that was. And then he died. And we began to say, oh Mary, don't you weep. Tell Martha not to mourn. It was unjust. that they did to our Savior. But 3 days later, just as the name was not just as the time, God responded to criminal injustice and raised Jesus up with all power in his hand. God used all that mess so that we can see how he worked a miracle. He used the cross so that we could wear our crown. He used that tragedy so that we could now be triumphant in Christ. And he gave him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That at the name of Jesus, every tongue must confess. What? That Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm here today to tell you that justice delayed is not necessarily justice denied.